Hello and welcome to another episode of The Godfather Part 2 Minute. With me, Alex Robinson.
And with me, Andy Robinson.
They said it couldn't be done, but today we're discussing Minute 159 of the GF Part 2.
That's right, Alex. You want to learn how to say it in Italian?
That could be fun. Let's try it.
Repeat after me. E minuto.
Numero.
159. Excellent.
Wow,
you do really well with the nines.
Yeah, nove is a good one.
Nove.
Yeah. Here's the summary for it in case you have not heard. At the Hotel Washington, Kay asks Rocco to leave the room and tells Mikey that she's leaving with the children. She acknowledges Mikey's tactical brilliance as he starts to sit down and explain some changes he wants to make.
Woo!
Pretty simple, this one.
Yeah, this is it's like classic mafia family dynamics meet modern divorce statistics.
I think Kay gets as much lines in this minute as she has had in the entire rest of the movie to this point.
Probably, right?
Yeah, other than sleeping quietly inside me, and you promised me 5 years ago that we'd be completely legitimate.
Wow, that really is all her dialogue from in this movie so far?
Pretty much, yeah.
Amazing. I mean,
she didn't talk in that scene where she was sewing. They saved some money on that that scene.
Didn't she, what about the court scene where Frankie Fivane, where Mikey was testifying, didn't she stand up and say, Your Honor, we also own stock in AT&T and NVIDIA?
Yes, she was being naive though, so I don't think people took it too seriously. It didn't occur to me that, do you think that was really Diane Keaton operating the sewing machine, or was it like a body double?
Oh, because we didn't see her face, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think we saw her face in that scene.
Well, it would have been cheaper to hire a body double.
Sure, yeah.
I always remember that sound, because Mikey's is droopy and wandering through the house, yeah. Sad, depressed. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so we start off at the hotel exterior shot of the Hotel Washington, mm-hmm. where I assume this is where the Corleone family and their entourage are staying.
Yeah.
Hotel Washington is still there. It opened April 4th, 1918. It is still operating.
Mm.
On their website, they say the hotel has appeared in several movies. But in addition to being the one-time home of Speaker of the House and Vice President John Nance Gardner, a few movies have used the Hotel Washington as sets. Hmm. It mentions the movie Contact. It mentions The Firm. And then it says, plus, its incredible rooftop was featured in the films No Way Out, Wonder Woman 2, and Godfather 2. But I don't remember any rooftop.
Oh, is it possible any of the Hyman Roth birthday party rooftop scenes were filmed there?
Well, it says, I thought it said that those were filmed in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I thought so.
And also, they did no other shooting in Washington, D.C. So it seems weird that they would go to the, just to film. And I can't think of any other rooftop scenes besides
Maybe in that narrative, they were just referring to the Hotel Washington in general and not the rooftop.
Yeah, just some kind of confusion. Like, it's obviously in Godfather 2, but they're mm-hmm. mixing it up with some other thing. But
do you think this minute that we're talking about now, Mikey and Kay inside a hotel room, is actually in the Hotel Washington or just that exterior shot?
I think just that exterior shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess this. I mean, again, I don't know why they would go specifically to Washington, D.C. to film in a hotel room there as opposed to just building one on a set or just using one in New York where they were already filming, you know?
You don't think that was one of Francis Ford Coppola's non-negotiables?
Now with GF2, he got power hungry. He's like, oh, no, everything has to be filmed exactly where he wants it to. So he owns stock in the Hotel Washington. And also IATT and
Howard Johnson's. I wonder, that'd be so funny. Francis Ford, all the success of Godfather Part One went to Francis Ford Coppola's head, that he really went over the top and in insisting on authenticity. For example, he says, we've got to wait 6 months for it to really be Hyman Roth's birthday to film that scene on the rooftop. but Francis, Hyman Roth is, it's, I love how it's Lee Strasberg who has to explain it to him. It's not a real character. Well, then we'll wait for your birthday.
Although you'd think Lee Strasberg being like a method actor, he'd be like, no, I can only film this on my birthday it would not be.
That's right.
Or because it was his birthday that day, they're like, okay, well, we have to make it Hyman Roth's birthday today. Like, Francis, today is my birthday, so it feels like there should be a party in my honor.
Now, do you think Lee Strasberg has ever lied about his age?
Yes, he's an actor. They lie all the time.
That's awesome.
I never lie about anything except for this statement.
The following two statements are syllogisms. They are conversely accurate, but only when the opposite one is not. Therefore, it is my birthday today. Although all the assistants have to bust out the mathematics and logics textbooks.
Logistic consistency is the most important thing.
A is greater than or equal to B. Let's get into anything else about the setting.
Yeah, we leave the exterior of the Hotel Washington and go inside, where I guess at least we know Rocco is staying there, because when she's like, Rocco, can we she doesn't say, can we have the room?
No, she just says Rocco.
Yeah. Rocco. And that Rocco looks at, well, first of all, she comes in and he says, oh, hello, darling, which I thought was a unusually affectionate term for Mikey to be using.
Yeah. And can we back up just a few seconds?
Sure.
Before she even interrupts their business, what's up with Rocco doing paperwork and pointing to where Mikey needs to be signing? Is this a promotion? I thought Rocco was sort of a glorified button man. I think Rocco was
helping him fill out his absentee ballot.
Oh, because he can't walk across the street and drop it at the where it'll actually be counted. Oh, I guess he votes in Nevada.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder where his legal home is. Yeah. I guess we'll never know.
But seriously, did Tom send? I mean, we know Tom's in Washington because he's been at the Senate hearings.
Yeah.
But did Tom say, Rocco, go and have Mikey sign these? I'll put stickers where he needs to initial. Just point them out to him.
The little yellow tab. Yeah, what is that paperwork that he is filling out? We'll never know.
Yeah,
he's hiring they need someone to pick people up at the airport now. So maybe I'm assuming it has something to do with some of the business we've seen on screen. Maybe they're transferring, they're getting rid of Alfredo's like retirement package material and, setting up all that stuff.
Maybe Tom is hedging his bet that Mikey is going to be
the winner.
Convicted and go to prison. So Tom wrote his own letter of recommendation. He said, go in there and have Michael sign this.
Do you think, does when Tom is referring to Mikey to Rocco or to other people, how does he say, go bring this to Mike? Does he say, go bring this to the Don? Does he go bring this to Mr. Corleone?
Yeah, we don't really see that. Go bring this to your Don.
Your Don.
Go
he
in
does
there,
say your Don, doesn't he?
Go in there, bend the knee, kiss the ring, and then have him sign on lines 4 and 8B.
Have him sign on the line that is dotted.
It's dotted, Senator. This line is dotted. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think he refers? I probably Mike.
It's weird, yeah. I guess it would depend on who he was talking to also. Yeah. Obviously, if he's talking to someone who, like Rocco, he probably just says Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if he's talking to like a button man, he probably says the Don.
Yeah, I get the impression Rocco has moved up. He's his status is a little higher now.
Started off as a chauffeur.
Yeah.
Went from chauffeur to assassin to staying at the That's hotel, right. Oh, Swanky Hotel Washington.
He's the one who whacked Paulie.
Yeah. Ooh, don't be seeing him in a little while.
Well, maybe Tom isn't licensed in the DC metro area, and Rocco just happens to be a notary in that precinct.
He's going to pledge an oath before him. He has to, the notary.
Mike, Rocco says, Mikey, I need you to sign here. And, you know, just to make it legal, I'm going to need to see your identification. Yeah, he has the stamp and everything. Anyway, enough about that. So Kay interrupts them. And then you're right. Michael says, hey, darling.
Yeah. Oh, darling. And that's when he says, Diana Keaton asks Rocco she says Rocco, and then Rocco looks at Mikey and then says, okay, I'll be in my room, Mikey. Mm-hmm. Mike.
And yeah, and I think steps into the other room. Do you think he then eavesdrops?
Yes. Well, I mean, they're gonna be screaming at each other, so probably.
But I mean, right from the beginning, when he goes into his room, does he immediately put a glass on the door and his ear up to it?
I mean, my instinct would be to say probably, but he also doesn't want to get busted doing that either.
Oh, that would not be good.
Any chance. Yeah. So maybe not.
Yeah.
You don't want to take a chance on that way. Kind of a thing. Or even if like Tom came in from the other side of the room, you know, and caught him. Oh, I was just listening. Is this Rocco's only line in the movie, you think?
I think so. Later at the airport, I don't want to spoil that great scene, but I think he might just laugh.
Right.
At the airport scene before that big event takes place.
Yeah, we'll have to keep track. So.
So then Kay says, I'm not going back to Nevada. I brought the children to say goodbye to you. Whoa. I want you to know that I'm very happy for you. I suppose I always knew you were too smart to let any of them beat you.
I thought that was a good line.
Woo. Do you think Mikey saw any of this coming?
I don't think so.
No.
I think, like we said maybe previously, is that he kind of takes his family for granted, mm-hmm. and is like, I'm focusing on the business right now. And, you know, because I'm sure he didn't see his father getting involved in any like personal.
Yeah.
Ironically, considering that he's famous for being the head of a family, that the Don was also not good at, or not necessarily the original Don Vito was not, it didn't seem like he really needed to be a family person.
Yeah, you know, it was a different time then.
Yeah, totally.
There were definitely different, more divided roles.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I don't think Diane Keaton looks, she definitely looks more like 70s Diane Keaton than she does 1959, 1960 Diane Keaton.
Yeah, you know that's a good point. Yeah, you mean her, what she's wearing?
Yeah, her hair, her outfit, you know, it looks looks much more 70s than it does early 60s. And I know, I mean, obviously, this is the scene where she's the most liberated and the most modern woman she is in the entire thing. So maybe that's that was somewhat intentional. She's wearing a big cross too. Did you notice that?
I did see that. Yeah.
Is that a hint of the abandoned storyline about Mama praying for?
Oh yeah, maybe
Vito's soul, and then it was going to end originally with Kay lighting a candle for Mikey's soul.
That's right. It would be, if remember, Francis Ford Coppola is going over the top in Godfather Part 2. So in this scene, he has Kay dressing like a hippie, all love beads and feathers in her hair. Mikey, hey man, you're just as bad as the man that you were fighting against. I'm taking the kids and we're going to Woodstock. Woodstock.
Can you dig it?
Woodstock. Hoo-ah.
Maybe the time travel thing of this is that Francis Ford Coppola want to show how liberated Kay was. He got Kay from 1975 to come back and do the scene, and that's why you know she's so much more a liberated woman.
Yeah, She seems very confident for someone that's dropping this bomb. I mean, she doesn't know how it's going to go, and I'm sure she's nervous about it, but she comes across as really confident.
Well, and it's especially ironic considering that she says, I suppose I always knew you were too smart to let any of them beat you.
Whoa.
But yet, she's about to be... But she thinks she can beat Mikey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she thinks, oh, I'm going to be allowed to leave with the kids, and, like, it's, you know, like, I can outsmart Mikey. Like, he would never dare do anything to me. But, mm-hmm. you know, clearly, as we're about to see.
It's a great line. I suppose I... And she's a little smug about it, too. She's not being... She doesn't say it as a compliment. It's really almost sarcastic. I suppose I always knew you were too smart to let any of them beat you.
Smart.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I was wondering if she's going to go instead of Mikey trying to talk to her. I was expecting him to say, well, what, did you go to a travel agent? You know? He's all about people's travel plans.
That'd be funny. She's like, Mikey, I just want to tell you we're leaving. And he's like, well, what do you come to me for? Why'd you come to travel? He uses it all the time. It's his favorite line.
Yeah.
That's one thing that characters in movies don't do that people in real life do is tell the same jokes like among different people. You know what I mean? Like having a joke, you use it with one group of people, and then you see a bunch of other people, and you use the same joke because you know it's a hit, or you know you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that is funny. Wow.
If I was ever writing a story or a screenplay, I would try to incorporate that. Like have someone repeated, like every scene would say a joke, and no one else would laugh at it because they know, like, oh, this is just what this guy says all the time.
You know what? You just missed it. I've got a little bit more of a clever approach to it. Uh-huh. One scene, a guy is telling a joke and he's just about to say the punchline, and they get, the whole bunch gets interrupted, like, oh wait, we gotta run out of here. And then just in a later scene, it just cuts to the guy delivering a punchline to a whole different group of people, and they all laugh.
Ah, that's funny.
But you kind of had to remember the earlier setup.
Yeah. That's really funny.
And two different groups of people, which makes it kind of funny too.
Yeah,
you finally got to tell the joke.
Yeah, one of my favorite gimmicks is always when a scene in a movie or TV show starts and someone's just saying the punchline to the joke and everyone laughs. Like,
yeah.
And I said, roller skates, I thought those were wings. And everyone's like, ah, you're not communist. So,
I love that. I love that.
That's a good thing.
Hey, speaking of editing and editing your favorite movies, Cocktail was on last night.
Oh yeah, one of your favorite movies.
Uh-huh. And but it was edited.
Oh, for TV?
Yeah, I don't think for scenes that were too graphic, but just time-wise.
Huh.
They just kept, it's kind of a long movie for a quasi kind of comedy drama. I guess not such
a movie called Cocktail, you would not think it to be more than 90 minutes.
It's pretty long. It might be longer than 90 minutes, but it was cut down. I'm embarrassed to say I know the movie so well now. I was shouting at the TV, like, wait a minute, they didn't even show him come back up the stairs after he fell down the stairs.
They owe them an apology, Senator. You owe that movie an apology.
Yeah.
You owe Tom Cruise an apology, Senator.
You owe Tom Cruise an apology. Tom Hagen, played by Robert Duvall.
You know, because you saw Cocktail for the first time in the last five years or so.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe a little longer.
But I thought it was going to be absolutely terrible. And it's more just kind of cheesy, but it's fun. And there are some genuinely funny bits in it.
I love the big cocktail contest at the end. That's my favorite part of the whole thing.
Coughlin's Law. Beers for breakfast. Anyway, we'll have to do Cocktail Minute.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if anyone's done it yet.
I don't think so. Would you rather do Cocktail Minute or Godfather 3 Minute?
Oh, that. I'm embarrassed to say I have to think about that.
And who are you going to do Cocktail Minute with is the question.
Well, I can only podcast with you. I only because I don't think I'd be able to find anyone who would want to do Cocktail Minute.
Yeah, you do a different guest each week.
That's true. Yeah, Well, we'll talk about it. We'll workshop it.
Okay. You know, this is what you do. You do, you say, hey, you invite someone to be the guest of your co-host of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They show up and then you're like, we're doing cocktail 1 minute at a time. And then you do the first minute of cocktail and the guy's like, you tricked me into this. I'm not doing this show anymore. And so the next week you have to get a different person and then do cocktail minute one again. And then you never get past the first minute of the movie because everyone's like, I don't want us to do 100 more minutes of this. And then,
or even worse.
It would literally be called cocktail minute singular because it would only cover 1 minute. Well,
it would be cocktail minute 1 minute.
Or first minute.
How about even worse? So that happens, but then you finally find someone. Maybe you go through 8 guests, you keep doing minute one, but finally the 9th guest is like, all right, I'll stick it out. And you get through, you know, like 20 or even 40 minutes. And finally the guy's like, no, I can't do it anymore. You got to go back to one. That might be the version of hell. What's the old Greek? Who's the Greek dude that had to push the rock up the hill and it kept falling?
Sisyphus.
Down? Sisyphus. That's right.
Yeah, the Sisyphus podcast.
The only way I might be able to be convinced to do Cocktail Minute is if part of the shtick was that we drank a cocktail while we recorded every minute.
We've been doing that for Godfather, so why not do it for Cocktail too?
That's right.
Now you've had your drink.
More wine. I've had your cocktail. Holy, more wine. I'm not ready to present this bit, but I was thinking the other day that, and maybe we did this at one point, I want to start doing Godfather voices, but saying other movie lines.
Okay.
And you have to guess what movie it's from.
Okay. Go ahead. What you got?
Like I said, I'm not prepared for it, but let me just think. I'll give an example.
I could have been a contender. I could have been someone instead of a bum.
Well, but that was really Marlon Brando saying that. That would be like, with the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight?
Well, everyone, I'm afraid we have some bad news. The PayPal wall is a coming down.
PayPal wall.
So if you want to hear the rest of the episode, go to godfatherminute.com/support and there, for as little as $1 a week, you can get access to hours and hours of bonus content. If you've never listened to it, you don't even know that we rate every single episode of GF2 at the end of every episode. So if you want to hear those, go to godfatherminute.com/support.
That's right. You'll be able to hear our review and rating of every single show.